signs.
Praise the Lord, everybody. Give Jesus the biggest hand of praise that you can give him. Hallelujah. Well, we wanted today to be different, and different it is. And along those lines, I want to thank the greeters as well who greet. That's sometimes it happens. We may omit something, but it's not intentionally. And the security team as well. That definitely in these days and times it's necessary. It has nothing to do with, you know, looking good or looking impressive before people. You just have some people that are cuckoo for Cocoa Puffs, and you need somebody around you that's going to be able to put that Cocoa Puff person in, cuckoo person in check. You can be seated just for a moment. I'm not going to be very long. We're going to release if there's any that need to have prayer or hands laid on them because God's doing something, and or they believe in God for something great and they need that, then praise God, we'll be here for it. But we are truly grateful for everything that God is doing. I was in here, and also on that note, we'll be back here at 4:00 this afternoon, and we will be watching the last service for Dominion Camp Meeting, and the guest speaker is Jesse DePlantis. And so if some of you have been watching, we were here Friday night, and then Saturday we took off. But then tonight we'll be here, and it'll be Jesse DePlantis and I believe Tasha Cobbs will be the psalmist, if you will. Now this guy here, Green, Travis Green, I never heard of him before. But he gave a testimony today. I'm telling you, I got to tell you the testimony. First thing he shared about was his son, who's about 3 years old. And that his son was premature. And the doctors were telling him, you know, his wife went into labor. Her water bag broke. And I think she might have been like 20 weeks or something like that. A water bag broke, and so they took her in, and the nurse or someone came out and says, well, you know, your son is dead, you know. And so it's like they were going to go ahead and probably do like a DNC, something like that. How do you know that? Because, you know, praise God. You just know those terms. You never forget them when they happen. But they were going to do something to clean her out, and he was like, and I'm paraphrasing because I can't remember it verbatim, but he was like, you know, well, can we just wait? And so the nurse was, or whoever it was, physician was saying, well, you can, but, you know, in this situation here, you know, it's like there's no use in waiting. But they waited and they prayed. His son is 3 years old. And there's no sign of being premature. And so later on, as he's ministering in music, he had to share another testimony that when he was 4 years old, he fell out of like a four-level apartment building or something like that. He fell out of that window, and when they came, the paramedics and all, they just laid the blankets over him that he was dead. But his mother came, and his mother picked him up. And his mother held him in his hand, held him in her hands, and she called on the name of Jesus. Jesus! Nothing happened. Jesus! Nothing happened. And then she just let out, the blood of Jesus! He came back to life. That's him. So, you know. If it weren't for him, he had faith and confidence when it came to his little boy himself. And so that was very powerful for me because, you know, a lot of these singers now throughout the body of Christ, some of them are just in there for the entertainment and the money. But some of them have a real genuine testimony of what God has done in and through their lives. And that's a tremendous blessing. And they still, you know, and it's not a fake thing. It's genuine. the counterfeits are going to be exposed. You know, the genuine are going to come to the forefront. We just pray for those genuines to come on out to the forefront and be a blessing to the body of Christ and help advance the kingdom. But it was a tremendous blessing to hear his testimony while he was ministering in song. I'm like, I never heard of him, but praise God, he got my attention now. So tonight at 4 o'clock, we're gonna be here. We're gonna watch it on the big screen. And Jesse Duplantis and anybody who's never been introduced or never sat under the ministry or ever heard Jesse Duplantis preach or speak, you've never? Oh boy, you are in for a blast. You're in for a blast. You know, after, I think it was either last year or the year before, it might have been 2 years ago, he came with a different anointing. It was so different. Because Jesse Duplantis will have you cracking up while ministering the gospel of Jesus Christ to you. I mean, you'll be laughing from beginning all the way in, but you'll get truth, and you'll get saved, and you'll get healed. But this one particular time, it might have been year before last, where he was under a different anointing, and he had been through something. There's something about when God lets you go through it, rather than just stop the thing and get rid of it, but he lets you actually walk through it. There's something different about you that he works in you. Remember this. Paul said it best. He says that it is God who works in you both to will and to do in his of his good pleasure. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling, if you will. So God is at work doing something within. But it's something about when you go through and then when you come out of that thing that your life changes for the better. You never come out bitter when you're walking in your relationship with God. It's only when you turn away from him that you end up getting bitter. But if you continue with him, things will get better. You'll be better off after you've gone through whatever that test, trial, storm, or adversity that came against you. So if God doesn't lift it, it doesn't mean that he's not there. Because Job had to go through what Job had to go through, it did not mean that God was not there. It did not mean that God had turned his back. As a matter of fact, there was a meeting that went on that Job was not privy to attend. And it was a meeting between God and Satan. But God had so much confidence in what he had instilled in Job over the years that he knew Job could stand the test. Go ahead, do what you will. But you won't be able to take his life. And Job's latter end was greater than his former beginnings, if you will. So don't turn your back on God. Don't put no time clock on him. I'm telling you, if God, who's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we could ever ask or think, God who heals the sick, raises the dead, casts out devils, cleanses lepers, if God lets you walk through something that he's well able, look at your neighbor and say, well able. Well able to deliver you from or prevent you from having to go through it. If God lets you walk through it, it's because he's got confidence in you that you're going to walk through it and you're not going to abandon him or forsake him or turn your back on him or become bitter with him. But when you come out of that thing, you're going to be so much better and your relationship with him is going to be so much stronger. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You will be trusting and I will trust in the Lord till I die. I will trust in the Lord. I will trust in the... Yeah, I know you don't know that one. I know y'all, many of you don't know that kind of a song. You had gone to one of those type of churches. Praise God. I wasn't even saved, but I could remember the songs. I didn't know nothing about God. I knew about the songs, if you will. About a man who died on Calvary. I don't know who that is, but they're talking about him a lot. And he obviously means a lot. And as far as the Holy Ghost, it was, and getting on top of the pews and stuff. And it's like, wow, that's the Holy Ghost? If that's the Holy Ghost, I don't want no part of him. That was my mindset and mentality at 14 years of age when a pastor stood up in the church, and my mother at that time made me go to church. I probably was about 13. She was making me go to church at that time. Henry Aaron, and you get on up and get on ready to go. And so he said, "How many of you felt the Holy Ghost?" And me and a few other guys, we were like, "We ain't raising our hand because we don't want no parts of the Holy Ghost. We saw what he did with people, and that's like, that's embarrassing, you know, for some people what they do." And that evening, my mother called me into her room at her bedside. And she said, "Why didn't you raise your hand?" I said, "Mama, because I don't have the Holy Ghost. And when I see what the Holy Ghost does, Mama, I don't want no parts of that." But then she taught me. But it wasn't until later, until I came into the fullness of the revelation of the Holy Ghost, of who he is and what he does, that he's God. Hallelujah. The very power and presence of God with us, living and abiding within it. Don't you know your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, and the Spirit of God dwells within you? That's awesome to me. Never forget that. The Spirit of God lives and abides within you. And if you're not God's, you don't belong to him, he's not in you. But if you belong to him, his Spirit is in you. Hallelujah. Not to leave you as old heathen. That's an insult to the Spirit of grace. To leave you as a heathen. He gonna move in and just going to leave you all dogged out and living like the same old person without hope and without God before you came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And if you think he's going to have you using drugs and everything else as a crutch in order to cope with life, that's an insult to the Spirit of God on the inside of you. Do you think God needs drugs or God needs a drink? Jesus, I need a drink after that one. Do you see what they did over there? You know, oh, man, I can't cope with this. You got any Advil? Can you imagine the father saying, "You got some Advil, Jesus? I need something, man. They gave me a headache that I can't handle. This is just too much for me." I remember one wedding I did. It was a dear friend of mine. He's now he just sent me an email the other day. His name is Clifford Bagsby. He said, "I'm now a deacon." I'm like, praise God. Because see, back in the day, we would cap on everybody. Some of you don't know what the word cap means, but that means we will talk about you and make fun of you. You know, and have everybody laughing at you. And if you couldn't cap back, that's your problem. You know, we cap on anybody, we get capped on, that sort of thing. But that's how we were. And he and I, we hung together. And so anyways, we used to make this sound. You know, and I can't do it as well as I used to, but he'd be on one end of the hallway, I'd be on another end. We see each other, we come running to one another, and we go, "Sweet!" You know, and everybody would just, you know, because it was just... But anyways, we became very close. And I did his wedding, he and his wife. And at his wedding, the Spirit of God just led me in this direction. You know, it's like, what's your vision of God? You know, God performed the first marriage, first ceremony, and I told him about that. I said, it wasn't Adam and Steve. It wasn't Madam and Eve. It was a man and a woman. You know, and this was way back, probably, this was, 19-something, 1990-something probably. And you know, just boldness, just, and I said, you know, no, because that homosexual thing and that same-sex marriage stuff, that's not of God. That's of man inspired by the devil. So fast forward, it's like, okay, how do you see God? How do you perceive God? Because if you think that God is a drug dealer, then yeah, you're going to be a drug dealer. You think God is an alcoholic, you're going to pattern yourself after him. But if God is holy, you're going to pattern yourself after him. Amen? How do you see? How do you perceive God? You know, what do you get from the revelation of what you hear from the platform as well as what you read at home in the Bible? I'm not talking about reading somebody else's book. Read God's book before you start reading other people's books that they have written, because all they have is just an extracted, either a revelation or an opinion and interpretation of what they think the scripture says. But you need to get in there and dig into the word of God and let the Holy Spirit of truth that's on the inside of you reveal truth to you so you understand who God is. You know God's ways. And if you fear him like you may pretend to on Sunday or what have you, if you fear him, then this is what you're going to emulate, because you're going to love what he loves, you're going to hate what he hates, and you're going to be who he wants you to be, and he wants you to be like him. Amen. What do you mean you want me to be? He said, be holy. Why? Come on. He wants you to be like him. He's dad. Amen? So, if you think God wants you to be a slave for whoever you present yourselves to obey, you are that one's slave. If you think he wants you to be a slave to that which he came to deliver you from, something's wrong. Your perception of God is wrong. No, now God wants to be your master, your owner, your Lord, if you will, your keeper, your savior, your deliverer. He wants to be your all in all. Amen? Amen. So, praise God. I don't know how I got over there, but bless God. I'm over there but I'm not going to keep you very long because it's now 12:41. So with that being said, we'll be here at 4 o'clock. Jesse DePlantis will be ministering tonight. Tasha Cobbs will be ministering in song. And, Friday night I was just sitting here and I was telling the deacons and their wives, I was like, man, I was in here and one year, I don't know why, just out of the blue, some of the sisters asked me, Pastor, Apostle, what's your favorite color? And I just had to look around the tabernacle and say, blue. Oh, I think they might have been looking to paint or something like that. But blue, it always was my favorite color. But I came in here on Friday night, and Deacon Patton had it blued out. I mean, he had it blued out. I came in here like, ooh, this is cool. This is cool. Praise God. He had it blued out. The blue lights were on, and, it was dark. All the other lights were off, and you just had this big screen. And I just came in here, and I just sat and basked and just looked, and I said, man, it feels good in here. And it always does, because the atmosphere is prepared for us to come in. But Friday, it was like, man, you can sense greatness about to take place. I even had Deacon Patton give the definition of potential yesterday when we were sharing at ministry training. And I said, Deacon Patton, what's the definition of potential? Possible, but not actual. Now, it was several years ago when he shared that definition, but it's like, oh, I'm locking on to that one because it's a good definition. It's possible, but it's not actual. And if any of you heard Pastor Furtick this morning, as he was speaking, he was talking along that lines, if you will. The guy, he preached one of his sermons at this church, and the pastor says, Pastor Furtick is, I think he'll be a great preacher, like one day. So he ran with that as a compliment. And then a friend of his had to tell him, that wasn't a compliment, don't you? It was not a compliment. It's like, where you at now? Who knows? But that's how potential is. And so Friday night as I'm in here, it's like, man, this place has great potential. It's not so much that it's, plush, if you will, but it is very accommodating for the Spirit of God and the people of God to come together and tabernacle, and that the Word of God would go forth, and healings and all would go forth, and just the effect that we can have on this community, the potential is great, which means it's very possible, but not necessarily actual, because it would depend on the state and condition of the people and their ability to run with the vision to advance God's kingdom in the earth. And One thing that we teach is your life is not your own. You have been bought with a price. So glorify God with your body. Stop doing what you like and what pleases you, and start doing the things that pleases God, the things that he likes, because you're going to find out that, man, that's really what life is all about. Praise God. Serving God faithfully, serving God wholly, wholely, if you will. I think I spelled that right. Completely with everything within you. That's life. To take it and do something else with it, you shortchange yourself. And the thing about the old life is it felt good while we were in it. So it shouldn't be a sudden surprise if we dabbled back in it and it felt good. And for some, it's so hard to give up that you never get to experience the fullness and the goodness of God. But I'm telling you, once you break away from that stuff, once you leave that stuff, once you, as Paul says, forgetting those things which are behind me and reaching forward for the things that are ahead of me, you'll never know how good God is. But once you get there, it's like, oh man, there's nothing to compare. Nothing to compare. The world has nothing to offer compared with what God. Now, you read the Ten Commandments, and you don't do this. You can't do that. You can't. You look at all of these things that you cannot do, and you're like, but I want to have some fun. I want to enjoy my life. Let me tell you something. Doing your own thing, that's not enjoying life. Because, see, you'll get in a sexual relationship with somebody that you're not married with. And because the sex feels good to you, you think that it's good and it's okay. And that God improves or endorses it the way that you're doing it. But God does not endorse that. And you're going to think, who made it good anyways? Well, it's my creative ways and I'm God's gift to women, or, you know, I know how to work and I know how to do all of these things and I know how to make him holler. You know, those kind of vain imaginations, and you get all caught up into that mess, and the thing of it is you miss out on the sacredness of what God ordained, both for pleasure and to reproduce a godly seed. It's not condemnation. It's God's plan and purpose. Doing things for why he created it. Don't ever think that the devil can outdo God. Don't let the devil make you think, you know, the devil can make you have more fun in life. You know, that's what he tried with Jesus. Jesus, come on over here. Come on over here. See all these kingdoms? All these kingdoms, they've been given to me. And I can give it to whoever I will. Bow down and worship me, and I'll give you all the kingdoms. He did that. That's exactly what he did when he tempted Jesus in the wilderness. But what did Jesus say? Anybody? No? Anybody read their Bible? Come on, speak a little louder, Brother Charles. Okay. So he had three occasions where he tempts him, to trying to bring him away from God's will. First, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Then he tempts him to cast himself down. Because it's written in the word. Since you word up, Jesus, it's written in the word that he shall give his angels charge concerning thee, lest you dash your foot against the stone. And Jesus says to him, you devil, you shall not tempt the Lord thy God. So then he brings him up and he shows him all these kingdoms. And he's like, all these are yours if you worship me. And that's what you have so many of these entertainers out there. They've been promised a career that takes them out of the will of God and the reason why he brought them forth or gave them the gift to be able to sing. And he promises them, oh, just worship me. In other words, do it my way. Yeah. You don't even have to bow down and say, I humble myself before you, dark prince. You don't have to say that. Just let your life speak it. anybody that dances like they're on a pole, if you will, you understand what I mean, that does dirty dancing and then gets up on the stage and say, I thank God for the gifts and talents and abilities, is parading Satan's agenda to be a stumbling block and keep people away from God. God does not give us the ability to go out there and do dirty dancing, if you will, for the worldly pleasure, if you will. This is what Herod, I think it was Herod, his problem on his birthday. Herod was a very lustful man. How much so that he not only had his brother's wife, his brother Philip's wife, but he's lusting after her daughter, which is probably his niece. I don't know, because it's not written as to who the father of her child was. But it does mention that she was the daughter of what's her name? Who? Herodias. She's her daughter, but she was married to Philip, who is Herod's brother. And so she goes and she dances before him. And obviously she danced well before him. But he was a lustful man, even lusting for her. So much so that her dance brought him, my word, to his knees, worshiping the plan of Satan. Anybody with me? I know you want to go home and I want to release you. Okay? Worship to the point where he says, what do you want? Ask anything up to half my kingdom. For a 5-minute dance. So Satan uses those things. So it's like, no, if you worship me, I'll give you all of this. I'll do all of this for you. Jesus is like, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shall you serve. The devil left him, waiting for another opportune time. In other words, waiting for another weak moment. Because he came to Jesus after he fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness. And the scripture says, afterward he was a hungered, or afterwards he was hungry. We'd be hungry after the first day, amen. Hallelujah, let alone the 40th day. You know, so at 40 days, no food. Anything looks good. After one day, anything looks good. That's when you start getting the junk mail in the mailbox. The hot dog from Wendy's, or not Wendy's, but Der Wiener Schnitzel or somebody like that. That looks good. The taco from Taco Bell looks good. Everything just all of a sudden looks lively and good, and you just want to dig into it. You want to eat the paper almost, but you know that the paper, that isn't the real thing. But it's so tempting. Nobody looking. I'm going to get that burger. I'm going to get that hot dog. I'm going to get it. I'm going. Nobody watch me. How you doing on the fast? Wonderful. Wonderful. Praise God. Praise God. Okay, let's get serious now. But the adversary will try and tempt you to get you to do stuff. We stay in the kingdom. We stay with God. Hallelujah. Rooted, grounded, and established in him. So Jesus was like, no, I'm not going for that. Come on. Commanding, if you'd be the Son of God. Now, God had already, 40 days previous, had confirmed, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. And so now he comes after 40 days and says, if you be the Son of God, let's see if you still remember who you are. Praise God. That's pretty good. After 40 days, do you still remember who you are? Praise God. After today, will you remember who you are? When you leave out of these doors, will you remember who you are? Amen. Because you Wonder Woman and Superman in here, praise God. And your praise goes up and the blessing comes down. And glory be to God. Hallelujah. You're the same out there. Don't forget that. You're the same out there. Don't forget that. When he comes at you, you just tell that flat foot, sleuth foot, snaggletooth devil, there are more with me than there are with you. Hallelujah. He'll back off of you. Oh, you know that, huh? Yeah, I know that. angels of God will show up in a... Who came to Jesus after he was tempted, after the enemy left him? Who came to him? Who's been reading their Bibles? The angels came and ministered unto him. You just tell the devil, they're more with me than they are with you. You only got one third. We kept two. Two remain faithful. Two thirds remain faithful to God. So you're outnumbered. And all of those that are getting born again in the kingdom of God that are still on this earth, many of them ain't your slaves no more. Some of them are sold out to God, and they are intercessors, and they are interceding for me. Devil, get out of here. Okay, so anyways, we're going to have 4 o'clock service. That will be our evening glory service as well. You're all welcome to come and attend. We will be here. And we're going to have a blessed time. It'll probably go from like 4 until 6:30 or something like that. It just depends on how the raging Cajun is feeling, you know, because Tasha Cos will probably go for about 40, 45 minutes or something like that. They'll have other things going on, and then they'll release Jesse Duplantis, and he'll come and minister. But if you've never experienced his ministry, I would encourage you to come. You know, you can do it at home, you can do it on a computer, you can do it on your smartphone, if you will. But look at that screen. So I was in here, this is a long story short, but here I'm back here. I was in here that Friday in the blue, and then looking at the screen, and I'm like, man, this is awesome. We got it good in here for right now. We don't plan on, this is not our destination. This is just our tabernacle, if you will, in like the wilderness. And so just... He's bringing that effect. Oh, he's bringing that effect. Oh, y'all may not want to leave if he does the other lights. So don't do the other lights. Let him go home and eat and then come back. But it was like, man, this is nice. This is nice. It's cool and it's open and it's welcoming. And then I started thinking about the potential that we have and what we are well able to do. And it's like, no, it ain't just potential. It's going to be actual, it's going to be factual, it's going to be written for the generations to come. We're going to leave them something that they can grab hold of and run with. They're not going to be confused when we go up. If Jesus tarries, when we go on to be with the Lord, they're not going to be confused. We're going to leave them we're going to leave a footprint. We're going to leave an indelible mark that you can do this God's way. And God will honor and reward you. Amen? Stand to your feet. You can do this thing God's way, and he will honor and reward you. You don't have to sell out. You don't have to go for the schemes. You don't have to do all of the other stuff that they try and do. You don't have to, become an entertainment center. You don't have to try and compete with the world, because the world don't have no relationship with God. Guess who Jesus is interceding for? Guess who he's not interceding for? Who? Okay. Well, he would never pray for the devil. None of those fallen angels. But Jesus in John chapter 17, he says this, I pray for these that you've given me out of the world. I don't pray for the world. Isn't that something? And yet he's praying that we'll go into the world and snatch them out and bring them into the kingdom. Hallelujah. Praise God. So the world's only hope is Jesus, but the answer is revealed through the church. Amen. Father, we thank you. Thank you for this great and glorious day. I bless this congregation because I know you bless. Hallelujah. I thank you for each and every one of them, from the youngest to the oldest, Lord God. From the one that may seem or feel insignificant, but all of us have significance in you. For every joint, every part, all the components of the body of Christ are indeed necessary. And Father, we pray that every part will be in its proper place for divine alignment, and that the hope of your calling shall be fulfilled. And you shall be glorified in everything that we do, in word and in deed. Empower your people. Bless your people, your sons and daughters, that they may prosper and be in health even as their soul prospers, that the gates of hell will never prevail against them, but they will always triumph over the gates of hell because they are the church of the living God and the pillar and ground of truth. The Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Be gracious unto you. Lift up his countenance on you and give you his peace. The name of the Lord be over you and your household, that he may bless you, that you may enjoy his goodness all the days of your life. May he bless the works of your hands, order your steps, direct your path, and guide you with his eye. In Jesus' name, everybody who agrees said, amen. Give the Lord a hand of praise. Greet one another in the name of the Lord. If you need to, you can meet us here at the altar. We'll be here, and we will be leaving shortly. Again, we'll be back at 4 o'clock. For those of you who would like to come, doors will open probably about 3:45, if not earlier. But we'll be here.